Did not I warn you to not be deceived? For there is one who goes out to deceive the nations, to deceive the world. He's called the deceiver of the brethren. He's called the liar, the thief. That he would deceive the world is not surprising. But many in my own church have been deceived. And they've walked under a spirit of bewitchment. For they've replaced my word with their own theology, with their own doctrine. They've replaced my word with the wisdom of men. And my word no longer has place in them, declares God. But I am breaking that spell, that witching spell. I'm breaking the hold of the enemy over my people, declares God. For many years there has been an awakening, but it's going to increase in this season, in this time. It's going to grow rapidly. And as my people catch fire, so will the true church catch fire also. And the true church will rise up and be separated from that church of the world, that church of Satan, where he has taken up his throne and where he has bewitched many, many, many who think that they serve me, but they're really just serving the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. But my kingdom is coming. And it brings conflict with it, for it brings that division, it brings that separation. And there are those who will not want to know that separation, for they will say, well, we're all one. No, you're not all one, declares God. For there are those who are with me and there are those who oppose me. You are not one until you're one in me, declares the Christ, until I have the headship over your life. And the headship over the church, it does not belong to me. But in these days, that spirit of bewitching is going to be lifted, and truth will be seen for what it is. For as I remove this spell, as I remove that darkness from the face of the earth, oh, the depravity of man will come out, and it will come out in the church, and it will come out in the world. But don't be afraid. For these things must be revealed in the end times to truly separate the sheep and the goats, the tares from the wheat. For this is all part of the plan. So be not afraid of all these things that are about to come upon the earth, but rejoice that your king draweth nigh. And rejoice in those things being exposed. For even as those evil, dark things are being exposed, so will the light of my sons and daughters be exposed in this day, declares God. For you shall shine brighter than you ever thought possible. And people will run to you. Yes, they will flock to you. And they will say, tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this way of life. Because the truth in their heart is being revealed. And not only are they seeing the darkness in their own soul, but they are seeing the light of the gospel. And I will be lifted up in these days, declares God. And I will draw many, many, many to myself. For it is the day of the outcoming, it is the day of revival, but it is the day of renewal where nations will be renewed. For I am doing a work in this world, again, revealing the sheep nations and the goat nations. And the line will be clearly drawn between the two so that all can see and all will have to decide whether they will follow the sheep or follow the goats. For this is the outpouring of my spirit, declares God. Praise you, Father. Were you ready for the word this morning? Okay, let's start off with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. You know, we've been talking about fragrance and how fragrance fills a room and that God has a fragrance. And if we're walking with God, we carry the same fragrance with us. Amen. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. They don't really accept that, because all they are fixated on is the smell of the old man. And they're not focused on the fragrance of God. And they're not, because of that, they can't see or sense the fragrance of God in them, because when they look at themselves, all they can see is the old nature. All they can see is all the past and all the different problems. And our foundation verse for this is out of Galatians 3:1. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" We've said that to be bewitched is to believe anything other than the truth of God. To believe anything other than the truth of God. We've been talking about it out of Ephesians 1. I'm just mentioning this to get us into the next segment. But in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14, reveals to us the right way to think. This is how you think if you're not bewitched. And the other day, I had a last Sunday, as a matter of fact, I had an afternoon meeting, and we were talking about this, and we read Ephesians 1:3, which says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And I said, "Is that true?" And this one person who is a good Christian, a solid Christian, has served the church, said, "No, that's not true." I'm thinking, whoa, I'm not at my church. And I said, well, I understand a lot of people think that, but the Bible says that it is true. And they looked at it for a little bit and go, oh, yeah, it does. And then we went on. Hallelujah. And they were sitting there just, because some people have never heard this. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Whatever, I mean, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ lives in us. The Father lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And I tell you, He brought His fragrance, His blessing with Him. Yeah. Amen? He didn't say, "I'm going to come and live in you, but everything that I am, I'm leaving outside the gate." No, when God moves in, He moves in with all of His blessings. Amen. Every single one of them are ours. That's why Paul writes, he says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I also want to bring up in Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance." Think about that. We have, past tense, we have received an inheritance of God, obtained it. Now, let's go to verses 13 and 14. I want to read those to you. And he says in Ephesians 1, 13, 14, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed," now get this, "sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That's going to be key in what we're approaching today, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we can look at that and say, well, yes, He promised the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that's what He's talking about. Yes, He did promise the Holy Spirit, but that's not the promise He's talking about. The Holy Spirit of promise. It's more than just, oh, I promised this to you, and now the promise is fulfilled, so we can all quit and go home and not pay any attention to the Holy Ghost anymore. That's not what He's talking about. In verse 14, He says, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Again, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Listen, the promise of God is not simply the Holy Spirit, the person of, but it is the blessing that come with the Holy Spirit. It is the inheritance that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of. That's the blessing. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance that we have received of the Father. Okay, now, with that thought in mind, go with me to Galatians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 1 to 7. I'm going to try to get through all this. But Galatians chapter 4 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." I can't go beyond this verse. The word child there literally means a child who does not yet speak. It is an infant that can't say, "Mommy, Daddy, I want a glass of water. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm hungry." A child can't speak. Now, oh man, we could go off into confession with that we confess what we believe. This is a child that cannot express his faith. Okay, he's a babe. He has to be nurtured and cared for because he can't take any responsibility for himself yet. And he says that the heir, see, we have an inheritance. That makes you an heir. The heir, as long as he is a child, as long as he cannot speak, as long as he cannot walk in faith, is an interpretation I want to apply. As long as he cannot or does not walk in faith, does not differ at all from a slave, from a servant, although he is master of it all. See, you can have everything. You can have the full inheritance dwell on the inside of you. But if you don't know how to speak your faith, that inheritance is going to still be on the inside of you and never come out. It'll never manifest. Why? Because you're not speaking right. And I know there's adults who say, "Well, I can speak." Yeah, but you're speaking the wrong thing. Now, we're going to get into this in a little bit. You're busy speaking the curse instead of the inheritance. You're busy speaking about all the things that have gone wrong, are going wrong, or will potentially go wrong, rather than speaking the inheritance of God. So you're still a child and you're a slave, in bondage to the elements of this world, even though you are heir of everything and master of all things. Verse 2, he says, "This child is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father." That guardian is the law. That guardian is legalism. "Even so," verse 3, "even so we, when we were children," same word, "were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son." Now listen. "And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." If you are a son, you have your inheritance. Well, what's the difference between a child and a son? The child is a child that is an infant who cannot speak, cannot vocalize his faith. A son is a full-grown, mature adult who has taken on the responsibilities of adulthood. A son is someone who knows who he is in Christ. See, if you would ask me who my natural father is, I would say, "Well, I'm his son. And I know that my father gives me everything. A good father will give you everything that they have. They don't put any limits on it. They don't put any holds on it. Whatever belongs to them belongs to you. That's a good father. So I have his inheritance. But there's so many Christians, we don't know that we are sons of God. We don't know that we're sons, or I'll say it like this, we don't know who our father is. And so therefore, we don't claim sonship, because that would be prideful. Well, it's only prideful if you're trying to fake somebody out or trying to say something that isn't true. Now remember, this is fundamental. Remember, Jesus was accused of blasphemy because he dared to call God his father. When you say you are a son of God or a daughter of God, you are claiming God to be your father, which means everything that the father has belongs to you. Well, you do that in some religious circles, well, in any religious circle, they will kick you out. They will not tolerate. Who do you think you are? I think I'm what the Bible says. I was a child. Now I'm mature. Now I know who my father is. Now I've received my inheritance. Well, you don't have an inheritance. Do you die and go to heaven? Well, if you want to postpone your inheritance, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to receive mine. Debbie's dad, before he passed away, before he went to heaven, he said, everything in my house is yours. If you see something you want, just take it home with you. Well, we didn't want to do that because we'd empty the place. You know, we didn't want to leave him with nothing. So, you know, we didn't take anything home. We didn't, our needs were met. We didn't take it because we had need. But every time we'd go back, he says, if you see something you want, because Debbie would pick up something and she'd share a memory that it brought back. He said, well, if you want it, go ahead and take it with you. I don't want to take it from you because it's got memories for him too. But see, that's a natural father. God can give you all he has because if he needs more, it's in him. He never, his supply never runs out. His flow will never quit. Whatever he has, it's just because it's him. And he just keeps producing and producing and producing because that's his nature. Hallelujah. It's like a spring of water. You can go out and where that spring comes up through the ground, you can take out water and say, it doesn't seem to go down. No, because the water keeps coming out. God is like that. It just keeps gushing out. He says that God is a living stream of water. You know, he refers, because the water just keeps coming. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know what it's going through to get there. But isn't it amazing that if you have a good well, it will not run dry? It just keeps going all the time. So this is what he's talking about. And this is a point I want you to get, or one of the points I want you to get. We've got to grow from being a child to a son. This means we've got to, in order to get your inheritance, you have to grow in your relationship with Yahweh. The more you grow, the more you get. God is not withholding from us. He's guarding it so we won't lose it. He's got it reserved for you. But a child is nothing better than a slave, even though he is master of all, because he hasn't matured to know who his father is. He hasn't matured to speak faith. He hasn't matured and grown up in his relationship with God. We're so, well, I don't want to say you're my father. What are we ashamed of, that God is our father? Religion has shamed us because, well, that's just prideful to say God is your father. Because they understand, the devil understands, if God is your father, you are equal with God. You're not God, but God has put you in right standing with him. In other words, he's withholding nothing from you. But if I say God's withholding nothing from me and I don't have something, well, then it's my fault. Gee, you're starting to get it. You know, because the end result of sin is death. And we know our natural bodies are going to pass away. We know it's appointed once for every man to die. We understand all that. But I'm telling you, a lot of people have died prematurely. They're still alive physically, but they're already dead. Because they've not received the life, the things that God has for them. They've not received their inheritance because they're busy. They either don't believe they have an inheritance, or they are walking in their own pride to not claim the inheritance that belongs to them. Okay. The law is a guardian. When it says in verse 3 there that even when we were children, or verse 2, but as under guardians and stewards, the law is our guardian. The law is a good thing because it sets fences around, and it's like it tells you if you get close to the fence, you're going to get into trouble. So it sets fences around us to limit us, to literally to keep us going in the direction of Yahweh. The fences are there to know this is wrong. I don't want you to go over here. And some of us, we just like to climb over fences. No, we see some Christians, like, if they see a fence, this is a restriction to me. Why? What is God hiding on the other side of the fence that he doesn't want me to go there? Because he knows if you go there, you will die. It's there to protect you. His fence is there to guard you, to guide you, to direct you into a right relationship with Him. You know, the whole thing of the law, I've said this before and I'm going too much detail, but the thing about the law is that it convicted you of sin, and the only way to get rid of the sin was to go and offer a sacrifice. In other words, the only way you can get rid of the sin is to go to God. And if you would go to God and take a sacrifice, which in Jesus Christ has been provided for us, without that sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So the law was a way to fence us in, to let us know what you're doing is wrong, it's bad behavior. You need to go to God and get right with God. That was the purpose of the law. But religion got caught up in the letter of the law, not in the forgiveness of the sacrifice. It's like, well, you have to offer the sacrifice because if you don't, you are dead. You know, and it's like they just kept pounding and pounding and pounding, and we developed a sin consciousness when the law was given to direct us to God, that He is merciful, compassionate, and He will forgive you of any sin when the right sacrifice is offered for it. Well, I've got news for you. Jesus is the right sacrifice. And because of His sacrifice, we can go to God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. We can enter the very throne room of heaven. Amen? We can enter the Holy of Holies because Jesus has already made a way for us. But the law is still that guardian to direct us toward Yahweh. Now, as sons of Yahweh, the Holy Spirit has superseded the law as our guide. Where you used to have the law, now being born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Don't do that. Don't go there. Have you ever had this come up to you? Don't say that. Why is the Holy Spirit so concerned about our speech? Because the Holy Spirit believes you will have what you say. And He's trying to get you to say the right things. You know, people look at confession. Well, I just think all this confession stuff, that's just too hard. You're just being legalistic with it. Well, not if you understand how it works. It's not legalistic. It's life. Yes. You know? Well, I don't believe what I say is going to come to pass. So I'm just saying I'm going to die in a car accident as soon as I leave the church. Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to agree with that. There's no way. Because I believe, like the Holy Spirit, what you say is going to come to pass. But some people jump fences. And they're just going to say it. Well, see, I said it and nothing happened to me. Well, keep saying it. You know, I know people that, I'll use me for an example. When I don't remember when it was the last time I got sick, but the last time I got sick, oh God, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I command that sickness to leave me in the name. You know, it didn't happen instantly, but it happened. I didn't give up one, you know, because it didn't happen the first time I said it, because I'm activating my faith. I'm putting it into operation. So it worked. Maybe not as quick as I wished, but it worked. Hallelujah. When I was in Haiti and I injured my foot, I'm in for 10 days. I'm just confessing it is healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm speaking to that foot, everything be made straight and whole in it. Well, the bones are still out of joint, but I can run, I can walk, I can leap, I can dance, I can do everything with it. And the doctors say, you can't do that. And my God says, yes, you can. Hallelujah. And that may not be a big thing to you, but it is to me. It's life to me, amen? See, with the Holy Spirit becoming our guide, superseding the law, we can now speak directly with Yahweh. Now we have the mind of Christ, and the Holy Spirit teaches us all things that we need to know. If you'll pay attention, if we give Him heed. Again, Galatians 4:7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We are an heir. You are an heir of God, the inheritance of God. The Holy Spirit of promise gave you an inheritance, and that inheritance is that promise that God said He is going to give to us. Amen? This is why in Galatians 5:1, He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Man, once you get free, you've got to determine, I'm going to stay free. Why? Because the devil's out there trying to lasso you and rope you back in and get you under his control. Oh, don't say that. Don't do that. Oh, you got to be real careful about that. Someone's going to get offended. Well, in this day and age, You can say good morning and somebody will be offended. What do you mean good? What do you mean morning? I'm a night person. I don't like mornings. What do you mean good morning? It's like, excuse me for breathing. Well, you ought to be excused for breathing because, boy, you don't deserve to crawl above the ground. It's like, oh, come on. People are so easily offended. If you go around living your life worried about other people offending you, you will never do anything for God, and you will live in the jail cell that they create for you, and they will determine the size of your cell, of how far you can go and what you can do. Amen? Okay, let's go to the main text, Galatians 4:21. We'll see if we can get through this. I'm going to read 21 through 31. I'm going to read it all at once, and I'm going to break it down. Verse 21, tell me, I know you're laughing. Tell me who you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? You like the law? Do you not hear the law? In other words, he's getting ready to say something to those who are trapped in religion. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through, catch this word, promise. It is the Holy Spirit of promise that gives us an inheritance. So here we have he of the free woman through promise that the free woman gave birth to a child. 24, which things are symbolic. Okay, they're a type. For these are the two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, which gave birth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's the law. 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above, remember, Jerusalem's a plural word. Every time you say Jerusalem, there's two. There's a natural and there's a spiritual. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. She who has a husband is the mother of the law, the bondwoman. But the one who is desolate, the one who appears to not be working, is the spiritual mother. Okay, it's the New Jerusalem. Faith, a lot of times, doesn't seem like it's working. Faith, a lot of times, doesn't appear. Spiritual things don't always appear to be as open, as visible, as the things that we see every day. But the reality is not the physical, not the legal, not the natural things, but the reality is the spiritual, the heavenly things. And the heavenly things are going to be more blessed than the natural things. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. There's that word again. Isaac was a child of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The first thing he says in 21 is, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now, he's quoting the law here. This is part of the Torah. This is part of the understanding. This is part of the official law of Judaism. And he says there are two covenants. There's a bondwoman. There's a free woman. Abraham had two sons, one through the natural means, the other through promise. The other was the inheritance that God promised him. I will give you a son. And I will create his seed, and through his seed will come the Messiah, and through his seed will come the blessing. Well, Abraham had to be blessed. Isaac is a son of promise. He's a son of the blessing of God. There's two covenants. One covenant leads to bondage, the other to freedom. We have been born again from death into life, from bondage into liberty. Two covenants. If you go by the legalism of the law, it will keep you in bondage. But if you go by the spirit of liberty, the spirit of promise, the free Jerusalem? Ooh, glory be to God, then we are free. See, the first covenant knew God from afar. It's the child. We only know mom and dad when they change our diapers, when they feed us, when they take us out and put us in the sun, when they bathe us. Other than that, we don't really have any communication with them. Okay, it's that child. It's that infant. The second covenant, we know Yahweh through intimacy, through sonship, daughtership. We know him because we communicate with him. We can now recognize him. We can now fellowship with him. We can now know who God is. Now, this is a difficult question. How does the true son receive his inheritance? How does a true son receive? You say, well, by faith. Well, yeah, but there's more to it than that. Verse 30, well, let's go to verse 29. He who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. So he tells us, if you're going to be a child of the promise or the free woman, the son of the bondwoman will persecute you. Okay? So there's going to be opposition. There's going to be struggle in the midst of all this. Verse 30 says, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. See, if you're going to walk by faith, you've got to cast out doubt. If you're going to walk by faith, you've got to cast out the things of this world. If you're going to walk by faith, if you're going to walk by promise, you have got to separate, divide yourself from those things of the world, those elementary principles that keep dragging you and roping you and pulling you back into the bondage again. That's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Be distinctive. And if you don't want to be distinctive, if you're going to be worried about offending somebody, now I'm not saying just don't go into a place and just say, hey, I'm a believer and you're a sinner, you're going to hell. Don't do that. That's stupid. You know, Isaac never railed against his brother. He still loved him. There's still promises for his brother. But at the same time, if you are going to progress, you have got to get rid of the people in your life that pull you down. You've got to get rid of the thoughts that are contrary to the word, to the truth of God. Remember what we said bewitching was? Believing anything other than the truth of God. See, you're bewitched. We're bewitched because we're busy listening to this bondwoman telling us we can't do this, we can't do that. Well, who do you think you are? I mean, just think about it. Isaac's elder brother was saying, I'm the firstborn. I get the inheritance. But God had already said the son of promise is the one who gets the inheritance. Not the natural born, the son of the promise. He's the one. God had already guaranteed. He's the one who gets the promise. My covenant is going to go on with him. And Abraham said, well, I'm going to try to get this child because, well, you know, in the natural, you know. And God says, but he's not part of my covenant. And in order for Isaac to become the person that he was intended to be, they had to get rid of the bondwoman and get rid of her son. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Galatians 4:31, Paul reminds the Galatians that we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let's go real quick to Galatians 3:13-14. This is so cool. It says, Paul, in the same letter, he's talking about all this stuff. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. See, so many Christians, they read verse 13. Woo, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Well, okay, you're free from the curse. Now what? Well, I don't know. See, we don't read on. He set you free from the curse of the law because if you are going to live under the curse, you will never receive the blessing of Abraham. He freed you from the curse of the law that you could inherit the promise of Abraham. And many Christians are not receiving, not walking in the promises of God because they're busy living under the curse. They haven't accepted the forgiveness. They haven't accepted the new birth. You are not who you used to be. Now, that ought to get a big hallelujah. I mean, that ought to go, woo, thank you, God, because I was afraid I was. I don't care how much your mama or your daddy or your best friend tells you, well, you'll never change. You're always going to be stuck where you are. That's not true. See, that's being bewitched. God already says you're a son and daughter. You've been born again. What good is it to be born again if I'm going to live the old way? And we get people born again. We know they're going to heaven when they die, and their life never changes. Because we've never taught them the covenant. We never taught them you can live at a higher level. You can know God. Think about it. I mean, that is so radical. You can know God, not just about Him. You can know God because the Holy Spirit has now become our tutor. And if you don't listen to the tutorship of the Holy Ghost, you will let the law speak to you. And you will listen to the letter of the law, and you will live under the curse, even though you're master of all. Even though everything has been given over to you. Hallelujah. See, now get this. The blessing of Abraham was Isaac, the son of promise. Now, this hit me this morning. This is so cool. Isaac is the son of promise. Missy, I'm going to tell you, don't answer this, because she probably knows. But do you know what the name Isaac means? Charlie got it right off the bat. Charlie, I'm not going to allow you to speak anymore. Laughter. Laughter. Now, the son of promise is laughter. Isn't that amazing? Why is the son of promise named laughter? Because he's laughing at the curse. He's laughing at the law because the law has nothing to do with him. Just like the curse has nothing to do with him. Therefore, oh, you made me laugh. You know, when the devil shows up, laugh. Mark Hankins goes into this a whole lot. He just laugh, ha, 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 ha. Well, don't you know how bad it is outside? Ha, ha, ha. I tell you, you cannot make a depressed person more upset than if you just laugh. You know, they come to you complaining, all these things are going on. Let me tell you a good joke. What? What do you mean a joke? Don't you understand how bad my life is? Yeah, I'm trying to get you out of it. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes the best medicine you can take is laughter. Just a big old belly laugh. Just to let it all out. We get so tense. We get so tight. I don't have time for a joke right now. I'm being serious. Well, you need to laugh. Why? Because when you laugh, it releases endorphins in your body in the natural. It makes you feel better. It is healing. The Bible said laughter is medicine to our bones. It brings healing into your life. And I'll tell you what, it makes the devil so mad at you. Here I am trying to put all this stuff on them, and they were buying it until they heard that stupid joke. And that joke, I mean, just think about it. when they told Sarah she was going to have a son, she laughed. And the devil says, see, she doesn't believe it. But she laughed because, look what God's going to do. Look what God's going to do. He's going to give me a son. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that old bondwoman isn't going to be able to hold anything over me anymore, because I am free of her. Ooh, glory be to God. And I'll tell you, you are free of the law. You are free of condemnation. Again, the blessing of Abraham was Isaac, laughter, the son of promise, because if you're going to receive the promise, you've got to learn how to laugh at the devil, laugh at all the bad news, laugh at. He said, well, I can't laugh. I know it's serious, but are you free from the curse? Yes. Well, then I can laugh at it. When someone comes along, it's just like I got a phone call from the fake IRS the other day. And they said, we've got police coming to your door, and they're going to impound your car and your property and take everything because you haven't paid your taxes. Well, I'm all paid up. We pay up in advance. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We don't have any tax trouble at all. But when I said, well, you can send them. Well, I'm calling them right now. They're going to be in your door in 30 minutes. I said, well, you tell them to come right on ahead. I'll be here with the door waiting for them. Click, they hung up. What was I doing? I was laughing at them. I was calling their bluff. You just, devil, you think you're so big. You just go ahead and try it because you will not succeed because I know who I am. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. And laughter is my promise. Why? Because it's not just laughter, but I'm above the curse. I'm above death. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. You know, you keep thinking about it. Even if I die, the worst thing that this world can do to you is kill you. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Woo, I'm released. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I can go home and go, woo, glory be to God. And I might just shock him. I might just come back. Jesus did. Jesus came back from the dead. And he brought a whole bunch of folk with him. I'll bet you they Halloween doesn't even begin to compare. I mean, these you're my uncle. I thought you were dead. Oh, but I believe in the Messiah. The who? And see, they were all laughing because death was conquered. Hell was defeated. Could not hold him. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:31, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This is who you are. As you're going to get out of being bewitched, you've got to start to understand, I am a child of God. I am the child of the promise. I am the child of the free woman, and therefore I am free from every curse. I am free from the limitations of this world. I am free because God lives in me, and he has changed me from death into life itself. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up. Glory be to God. I tell you, I hope you got something out of it because I sure did. I mean, the Word of God is rich. You just let it talk to you. You just listen to it. It's so hard to understand. That's because you're thinking the old way. Because you're thinking about bondage. You're thinking about, well, this can't be true. It is true. If any man come to me, he will be born again. If any man come to Christ, he'll be a new creature. Hallelujah. What a promise of God. Well, Father, we come before you this morning. And God, we've given our hearts to you. We've given our lives to you. And God, this is almost like a believer's meeting. But God, we just praise you, Lord, that we are believers. We thank you, God, that you're making us aware of who we are in Christ. It's not by our own efforts. It's not by our own skill. It's not by our own ability. It's by the blood of the Lamb of God that died and gave his life for us that we may live again. And God, we thank you that life starts now as we believe on you. We thank you, God, you are conforming our minds, our soul, our emotions to the Spirit of God, that we would be like you in this earth, God. We thank you, Father, that the enemy cannot touch us. The enemy cannot steal from us. The enemy cannot take away from us in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that all the promises of God are yea and amen for us. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you thanksgiving, God, that we no longer fear the enemy because we have conquered him and defeated him through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We give you praise for all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you.